Jesus to the office.
Do we need these now?
Must we give these off? Yes.
Somebody is left the phone. Does anybody know?
Yes, my wife is.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope we all have some good refreshments and we are feeling refreshed. Carry on again for the next 40 minutes or so before we break for Salah and lunch. Generally, it's more difficult to get the men in. And I see the ladies are taking the time to come back. Is this real Australian time, first time? While we're waiting for some of the ladies to come in, just very quickly, I was not aware that many of you are acquainted with part 1 and part 2 that I was referring to along. But basically this is the part 1 and part 2 that we are talking about that is being taught in many of the Makatib by home in South Africa and is being used here at Masjid Ibrahim also. If anybody wants to have a look at it, it is available. Just keep contact with Sheikh Shabir and inshallah he will be able to show it to you, Sheikh Abu Bakr, and you can have a look at it and go through it. Basically in the part 1 in the 5 concepts that we spoke about and there are 10 concepts that are taught in the part 2. Again, the whole purpose for developing this syllabus as far as teaching Quran is concerned is the developmental aspect. Again, taking them from the known to the unknown. One is we can just open up the Quran and then the students sit in front of us and then the student now start reading. We read, the student read. We read, the student read. The fear with that is that possible there's going to be memorization without recognition. There's going to be memorization without recognition. But if we do it developmentally and we take it from stages, we teach a few concepts in the first year, a few concepts in the second year, and then slowly, after going through these 15 concepts that are taught in part 1 and part 2, then the child comes into Quran. They are now acquainted with all the concepts that need and are needed and can equip them for actual recitation of the Quran. So this is the part 1 and part 2. If anybody wants to peruse through it and go through it, please, after the session, you can come here to the front and Maulana Shabir, Sheikh Shabir and Sheikh Abu Bakr will show it to you guys. And if you want it, it's also available for sale. You can contact Sheikh Shabir and inshallah you can purchase them. Purchase. This is not a marketing session. This. I'm not marketing anything. I'm just telling you what, giving you information, please. Okay. People, before we continue, I'll give those mu'allimat that are coming in another 30 seconds just to settle down. I'm tempted to say, the first point of my presentation was come early. The first point in my presentation was Kambhari. But anyway, practice makes perfect. We'll start practicing it, inshallah, slowly, and it will start coming into us. Allah make it a possibility, inshallah. Jee. Okay, just by show of hands, how many of us are teaching the beginning of Quran? Meaning, teaching the beginner's Quran. How many of us are teaching beginner's Quran? Just by show of hands. Okay, and how many of us are teaching the actual Quran? Teaching the actual Quran. Okay, it just gives us a little bit of an indication, inshallah. So we know how. We will just very quickly, the next 35 minutes or so, go through a Quran teaching presentation, and after that there's one or two things that I would like to discuss in 5 or 10 minutes, inshallah, and we will terminate the session and break for Zohar Salah and lunch. People, we are teaching Quran. The whole purpose in us giving this ta'aleem and this education of Qur'an al-Kareem to our learners, there is obviously some purpose behind it. We spoke about motivating our learners. We spoke about the importance of motivating our learners. And there can be nothing more important that needs motivation than to motivate our learners to keep contact with the Qur'an al-Kareem. To keep contact with the Quran and Kareem. That is why our educating our learners should be done with that intention, of transforming our learners. Education for transformation. And this will come out very strongly in the coming presentations that will be put before you, inshallah, over the next 1.5-2 days, inshallah. When we teach Quran, there are a few basic house rules that we need to take into consideration before we even get into the actual teaching of Quran al-Kareem. The first point that I'm going to put across to you is just for you to keep in the back of your minds. So as I carry on, you will understand what I'm trying to get at. That each and every one of us who are teaching Quran, we have been employed as Quran teachers. The word teacher is important. We have been employed as Quran teachers. We were not employed, and I don't know, I stand to correction, but we were not employed as Quran listeners. Am I correct? Hello? Is the door open? While we're standing outside and shouting for someone to open the door and no one's coming in. Hello? Am I correct? Are we teachers or listeners? Yes, we have to listen more than we speak. But when it comes to Quran, are we teachers or are we listeners? I am saying that primarily you are a Quran teacher more than what you are a Quran listener. Because I need to teach Quran. And I am going to say, and you can disagree with me, I don't have all the answers, nor can anybody else have all the answers. But when I teach Quran, I was just discussing with one of the mu'allimah there at the back, when I teach Quran, and when that child walks out of my classroom at the end of the day, I must feel confident in my heart that that child knows what I taught him. That child knows what I taught him. If I don't have that confidence in my heart, then there's something that I did incorrectly. In today's time, there's few things we must forget. We cannot depend on the child learning at home. And again, to use the word learn and tell the child, go home and learn, that's the incorrect way. Because already, we have created a dislike in the child. Nobody likes to learn. That is why what I'm saying when we speak about education for transformation is one or two things that we need to do. If anybody is doing it, alhamdulillah. If not, let us see how we can. Number one, I am teaching the Kalam of Allah. What is the Kalam? In my Quran period, how long are the Quran sessions in Australia? 1 hour?
40 minutes.
40 minutes? We have approximately 40 minutes. In that 40 minutes, or from that 40 minutes, I need to take out 1 minute, not more, because this is not my objective. 1 minute to speak to my learners every day on the fadail of Quran, the virtues of Quran, and the fadail of tilawat of Quran, on whose kalam this Quran is. Whose kalam? This is kalam Allah. Who is Allah? 1 minute every day. It can be done theme wise as an institute. When you have your staff meetings, do you have staff meetings? Do you have staff meetings? When you have your staff meetings as a collective, you can decide that over the next 2 weeks, this is what we're going to discuss and encourage our learners. But 1 minute, nobody needs to come and give your learners a bayan and show them you are Bahrul Ulum and how much you know. That is not the objective. Just 1 minute, motivation. Motivation. From a small age, if we tell these children about the fadail of Quran, the fadail of tilawah of Quran, what rewards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has promised, we tell them about the kalam of Allah, the importance of the Quran, the adab of the Quran, the respect of the Quran, we discuss adab and etiquette of reciting Quran, the interest is being created in the heart. Coca-Cola. Everybody knows Coca-Cola? Why have they become so famous? You go into any part of the world, you will find the advertisements of Coca-Cola. Has it changed? They are advertising the same thing, but the importance of it is embedded in the heart. Those learners in the house of Allah will say, our learners today, on the outside, there are so many things that they are being bombarded with. If I ask them who is Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and who is Wayne Rooney, and who is this soccer player, that football player, they will be able to give you his own profile. But what about our Quran? Can our learners tell us about the Quran? Can they speak to us about the Quran? But they know everything. You go, we travel and we go, we tell people you're from South Africa, they ask you 2 questions. Mandela and Hashim Amla. They know these people. Why? They're listening to it all the time, they're listening to it. So if we make them listen all the time about Quran, the importance of Quran, the fadail of Quran, then to get the child to learn Quran, we have won 50% of our battle. So will we try and read that inshallah? 1 minute out of the 40 minutes. From the 40 minutes, only 1 minute every day. Just to impress upon them what is the importance of Quran and Kareem. In teaching Quran, what is our objective? For the pupils to recite Quran correctly. Not making them Qurra. For them to become Qurra, they will take up further studies. But in primary education, it is to teach the children to recite Quran correctly. And in correct recitation of the Quran and Kareem, there are 2 aspects. On a broader scale, we refer to it as tajweed. But breaking tajweed up, there are 2 aspects. One is, this is no fatwa. You won't find this in any book of deen. It's not in the Quran and it's not in the hadith. It is only for our understanding, to make us understand. One is the faraz of tajweed, and the other is the mustahab of tajweed. Now, by no means, by using the words faraz and mustahab, are we degrading one over the other? What is the purpose of tajweed? The correct pronunciation of letters. The correct pronunciation of letters. And impress this on our children, that if a letter in Arabic is pronounced incorrectly, it changes the meaning totally. One example. If we take the Arabic name Aqila, which is a female name, Aqila, which means a female person of intellect. And if it is not pronounced correctly, and instead of and Ta, we change it to Akila. We change it to Akila. Though there's no Arabic, what does that mean? One who eats a lot. Correct? So, impress on our learners the importance of correct pronunciation. The importance of correct pronunciation. That is why we're referring to that aspect, which is Bakharij, as Faras. It is important for them to pronounce the letters of the Quran correctly. Because if they pronounce the letters of the Quran correctly, Quran recitation will be correct. But if they are pronouncing the letters of the Quran incorrectly, then the Quran recitation is incorrect and the meaning of the Quran will change. On the other hand, we come to category 2, which is mustahab. That is your laws of tajweed, your ikhfa and your gunna, and your laws of man. If a child, I know the Quran and the Sittiya made to shoot me down, but if a child does not make ikhfa or gunna, is he changing meaning of the Quran? The meaning of the Quran is not going to change. Yes, that is the beauty of the Quran. And I'm not saying that don't teach them. We have to teach them also. We have to teach correct recitation of Quran, and we have to teach them how to beautify the Quran. So we have to teach them. But we need to prioritize. Which is more important? Which is more important? For them to read Quran correctly with correct pronunciation. That is why we impress on our learners the importance of correct pronunciation. To help us with pronunciation, there's few things, many of us may have seen this before, but the few things that we go to is salam when entering the class. Not salam alaikum. Not salam alaikum. There's no salam. But correct and help the children. Again, don't correct them. Show it to them. Show it to them what they are doing incorrectly as far as the salam is concerned. And make it a rule in your classroom that every child will greet properly and correctly with correct pronunciation. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As a collector, we can use that as a theme for one day. And the fadail of salam. But when we help them with the correct pronunciation of salam, are we not helping them to correctly pronounce the letters of the Quran? Developmental. We are developing their pronunciation. And in everything where pronunciation is needed, we assist them. So teach them properly how to make salam. And pronunciation of names correctly. You have 20 learners in your classroom. Every learner has a different name. And in the different names, you possibly will get half the Arabic alphabet. In the different names, you possibly will get half the Arabic alphabet. So if you insist that there is no Muhammad or Ahmad or Ismail, you insist that it is Ahmad, Muhammad, Ismail, that pronouncing the name and calling the friend with the correct name is of utmost importance. If half the Arabic alphabet comes in the 15 learners or 20 learners in your classroom, is that not helping you get the pronunciation in Quran correct? Is that not helping you? Definitely that will help. I am not getting any response again. I'm going to ask, is the door open? If we get them to pronounce and call each other by the names with correct pronunciation, will that help us in teaching Quran? Will that help us? So these are two things that we need to do. I spoke about three things thus far. The fadail, salam, and pronunciation of names correct. Then every child, we start by teaching them ta'awuz. Again, I'm going to impress that our objective, we concentrate so much. We concentrate so much on teaching the work that we forget to tell the children why. We forget to tell the children why. If we tell them why we need isti'ara, why we need a'udhu billah, explain to them why. Why? Anybody wants to tell us why? To chase shaitan away. And why do we need to chase shaitan away? Explain that again, 30 seconds to 100. You don't have to give them Bakrul Qulub Bayan again. Just a little bit, just so that they understand. Now when they understand that, will that not create a desire in them to not learn it correctly? So we teach the ta'awuz for the isti'adah, if you want to refer to it as What we have done here is we have marked off the important letters or the general errors the learners make in reciting the Ta'awudh. And you are right, when you tell a child to read Quran, how the child will read, Alhamdulillah, Shema, Alhamdulillah, Shema, Alhamdulillah. And as an ustad, or rather as a mu'allim, as a mudarris, as a facilitator, I allow them to carry on. How can I allow them to carry on when the very beginning of Quran, instead of chasing shaitan and making shaitan happy to be with the child? I'm supposed to teach the child to chase shaitan away, but I'm allowing the child to chase shaitan away. I don't even know if the child is So it is very important to take into cognizance these errors. And again, don't correct. Show it to the others. Put it on the board as we have it here and highlight these letters that are generally incorrectly pronounced. We will refer to them as special letters, like the Ayn. And why can't we show them physically from where the Ayn is pronounced? You can tell them, put your fingers here. You see here, this is known as the throat. This is where the Ayn is pronounced from. Can you say the Ayn? Say Ah. Ah. Can you feel the vibration? Do something like that. Always do an image with your hand. This is the tongue. This is the upper portion of the mouth. At the back, that is where you go through to the throat. The throat is somewhere around here. Show them. If this is your mouth, you come down, the throat is somewhere around. This is where the Ayn needs to be pronounced. This is where the Ru. In Arudu, this is where the Ayn, the Ra, the Ru needs to be pronounced from. And ask them to practice it. What did we speak about earlier? Drill. Drill work. Drill work. When I walked into the classroom for the first time, you know, with full vibrancy, I'm a teacher, I'm now starting to teach my very first lesson in Quran, and I was so energetic, and the children started reading, and with the mashwara and the advice of my asatiza, I went with so much of conviction that I'm going to be a solid Quran teacher, and I started with Ta'awudh. It was a class 8 class, I remember. It took me 3 days to teach them Ta'awudh until I realized what we try. And then I simmered down. And then 2 years ago when I started teaching, I started with the Jam'iyyat ul-Ulama as a supervisor, I realized what I was doing was the right thing. Get what is important right first. So these errors that you see there, the Ayn, the La, the Ha. Many a pupil will Billahi, the La, the Ha, in the word Allah, then the Ta, the Ra, we have marked out because of the tashdeed. Many a mu'allim have a problem in teaching the tashdeed. What is the tashdeed? If we just tell the child it is a joining letter, have we really explained it? Again, come down to the level of our learners. And you can give them an example of super glue. Or you can give them an example, again, you look like a clown in front of your learners. Let them laugh. Their laughing will educate them. Your action will make them laugh, but it will educate them. You stand with your muscles up. Can you see the sign? Show a strong man. Doesn't it look like a tashdeed? So that tashdeed is like that strong man joining one letter to the other. And it is pronounced so strongly, it sticks to each other. Explain to them, improvise in your method of, in your methodology in teaching and getting across to the learners. So that is as far as the isti'ara, the ta'awudh is concerned. The tasmiyah, same story. The important letters, again, why do we read bismillah? Ta'awudh, which is in shaitan away. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why do we read bismillah? To bring the rahmah, to bring the mercy of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Explain to them the importance of bismillah. Again, 1 minute. And not on the same day, on a different day. Spend 1 minute in speaking to them about bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then when we come to the recognition aspects in teaching Quran, we need to pay attention. One is to the alphabet. Like I said earlier, let us not pass on the bath, or let us not adopt the POB syndrome. Pass on the bath. That's supposed to be done in class 1, or that's supposed to be done in the way in second grade, or that's supposed to be done with the Mu'allim or the Mu'allimah last year. Not my job. If they never done it, then well, I will do what I have to do. I needed to teach them so much of the Quran, that's what I'm going to teach them. Whoever's supposed to do this, didn't do it, they must sort it out. They must answer to Allah. Cooperation, where's the cooperation? So meaning, every Quran class that comes to me, I need to pay attention to everything as far as Quran is concerned. I need to pay attention to the alphabet. They got alphabets, is that? Uncle Ismail, English, is that correct use of the word?
We're doing the Arabic.
So the alphabet, pay attention to the alphabet. The harakah, which is your fatha, dhamma, kasra, fathatayn, kasratayn, dhammatayn, fatha muqaddara, kasra muqaddara, and dhamma muqaddara. We need to pay attention to that as well. And again, teach it to our learners. Teach it to our learners. For those that are teaching in smaller grades, a drill needs to be done about the sound. And when teaching the sound of the harakat, sometimes we mu'allimeen are guilty of teaching the harakat in such a way that gets the children used to dragging, which is a huge problem. They drag the harakat. Instead of they say instead of ik, they say ee. So where they must read fatha, they read fatha muqaddara. Where they must read kasra, they read kasra muqaddara. So when teaching the sound of these letters, again, from the known to the unknown, find, for example, I'm not using the word effectively, but nevertheless, if you put the fatha, the kasra, and the dhamma, the kasra is a, the fatha is a, the kasra is e, the dhamma is u. Get them to understand it this way. And then when you put the fatha muqaddara, kasra muqaddara, and the dhamma muqaddara, then you drag it a little bit. That is the one that you drag.
But it's not clear,
you
just press on the things that you can see. Press on the
It's not very clear.
Yeah. Just press the pen in the back. As the back is the. Yeah, just press hard. Yeah, just press hard. Right now, press.
That's R. That's E. That's O. Drill of this is very important. So that they don't drag. They don't drag unnecessarily. And where they have to drag, where they have to pull a little bit, for the fatha muqaddara, the kasra muqaddara, they have to pull. Same with the tanween. And in kun. Give it to them in a way that they can learn it. Give them the English equivalent. Give them the English equivalent. So that is as far as the harakat is concerned. Then the sukun. The sukun, this is glue. This is glue. We are joining one letter to another letter without repeating the second letter. And the tashdeed is super glue. As I've given you the example a little bit earlier. Then we come to the special letters. These are the categories of letters where the children have difficulty in pronouncing. The ta and the ta. The ta, they are very closely. Their makharij is very close. It is not the same, but it is very close. So those that we have blocked off are actually what we would refer to as the special letters, which we need to impress on our children continuously the correct pronunciation of those letters. How those letters are pronounced, that it is different. The tha, the seen, and the saw, that they are pronounced from a very close makharij, but they are different. And we need to impress on our children. How do we do that? Get the children to mark it off in the Quran. Now I'm going to talk a little bit of marking. Have you given you a little exercise? Give it up under minutes also?
Okay.
There's a little exercise that was given out towards the end of the session. I'm going to ask you to do that activity. Where you will do the marking yourself, the special letters in a different kind of pen. There's a few things that needs to be marked. So everything you need to use a different kind of pen or pencil colors. You get pencil colors in Australia? You know? The first time I come here, so I'm thinking there are many people when they come to South Africa, especially those that come from the subcontinent, when they come to South Africa, they think they could see lions walking on the street, and they could see tigers walking on the street. And then when they come to South Africa, they see a different picture. So possibly my first time to Perth, I'm not too sure if people understand that as far as stationery is concerned, but you know. So get your children to come with pencil colors to the classroom, and with different colors, one color or the special letters. What the special letters are? There's approximately 10 of them. The Ta, the Tha, the Sad, the Ha, the Kha, the Ghay, the Ba, the Dal, the Za, the Ta. These are the special letters which you get them to. And there must be unanimity and agreement in the entire institute how it's going to be marked. If you're going to put a circle around it, everybody must put a circle. If it's going to be marked with a blue color, everybody must mark it with blue. Everybody must mark it with blue. So for a limited time, and I'm using the word limited time, get them to do marking, the special letters. You are teaching the special letters, let them mark it. Again, you need to be vibrant and vigilant. You remember that point? You need to be vibrant and vigilant. That is why you can't sit. And it's not possible for you to go to each child and check if they mark. But you have to do it. But you have to, how is that going to be done? When you are walking around, you walk around, you observe. You look in the Quran whether the work is done, whether they have marked or they have not marked. And if anybody has marked incorrectly, don't correct it. Show it. Show it to them. So there must be unanimity in the whole institute. The color and how it is going to be marked. So when they go from class 4 into class 5, the class 5 facilitator or Mu'allim or Mu'allima, don't give them a different system now. It's one system, a united system throughout the institute. So they will mark that. After some time, 4-5 weeks, they've been marking now. They'll be marking for 4-5 weeks, so when they are reading, obviously it is marked, so they know they must pronounce it correctly. It's a special letter, it needs to be pronounced in a particular way. After some time, you tell them, okay, people, beloved learners, from tomorrow you don't have to mark. From tomorrow, you don't have to mark. Now tomorrow comes. They did not mark. Now you want them to read. Are they still making the mistakes? If they are still making the mistakes and they are not reading the special letters correctly, ask them to start marking again. Get them to start marking again so that they get perfect. Until the time comes when they have perfected it and they decide to read the special letters correctly. The second thing is the open letters, which globally seem to be a very serious problem, where a learner will read. We all understand what the open letters are. A Sakin letter after Fatha, or rather Alif after Fatha, Ya Sakin after Kasra, and Waw Sakin after Dhamma. We all understand that? So the open letters is waw sakin or waw with the sukun before that comes the letter with a dhamma, or a ya with the sukun before that comes the letter with a kasra, or an alif before that comes a fatha. So that needs to be pulled and read. Needs to be pulled for the duration of one alif, or till the child understands that it must be read as an open letter. Like for example, Ma, Ba, sit the Ba, got a Fatha, which will be Ba, but the moment you add an Alif to it, then you put it into the, it becomes Ba. So the open letters is Waw Sakin preceded by Dhamma and Dhamma Muqaddara. What is a Dhamma Muqaddara? It is in actual place, it is comes in place of the Waw Sakin, of the Waw of the Sukun. The Waw with a sukun. So if we don't write the waw with the sukun, then we write the dhamma muqaddara. As we wrote it there, the u, the double o, u, that is the dhamma muqaddara, it comes in place of the waw with a sukun. There is an example. Thus is not drag, lahu. But the moment we add a waw with the sukun to it, then it becomes lahu. It must be pulled a little bit. But people, we need to teach this to our children. Again, don't correct them. Don't tell them to do it. Show them how it must be done. That is why we said, the board is your best friend. The board is your best friend. Alif preceded by Fatha and Fatha Muqaddara. Same example, only here we bring it with Fatha and Fatha Muqaddara. And a Ya Sakin or Ya Ruka Sukun preceded by Kasra and Kasra Muqaddara. Same example as we did with the Fatha and Fatha Muqaddara and the Dhamma and the Dhamma Muqaddara. Do we understand what is Fatha Muqaddara and Dhamma Muqaddara? Do we understand what that is? J?
No.
Do we?
No.
Do we?
No.
Hello? Anybody at home? We understand what is Fatha Muqaddara and Dhamma Muqaddara? Okay, there is one auntie at the back that is saying she don't understand. It is basically, again, it comes in place, a Fatha Muqaddara is in place of an alif that is preceded by a Fatha. Meaning a letter, for example, if that auntie can come a bit closer so you can see what I'm putting on the board. For example, instead of writing Ba, a Fatha followed by an Alif, we put the Ba with the Fatha Muqaddara. Does that explain to you? If I can just ask that auntie after the presentation to come and see me, then we can explain it to her a bit better then. Everybody else understand? You understand? Sheikh Shabir, I don't think the refreshment was good.
just for a couple of minutes, just reflect that. Can we just go back to those examples we've given, are they clear enough or do you want another explanation? Because we're not sure that
the is open letters, closed letters, are you clear with it?
Yeah.
Are you clear with it?
Yes. Are you okay with these letters? Because if not, here is a question.
So, the reason we're having this confusion is because those of us who are grammatically acquainted of an Arabic background, and a Dhamma, Fatha, and Kasra Muqaddara refer to something else completely. So some of us may be completely confused. Those of us who don't know, you will have bliss in your ignorance, just remain there, inshallah. Who, if we don't know what is a kasra, fatha, and dhamma, muqaddara, it's a good space to be in at this time. When one refers to muqaddara, he basically refers to alif mamduda, waw mamduda, and ya mamduda. That is the easiest way just to understand this concept. Now, depending on which part of the world you come from, all of this is going to sound like a whole lot. That's why we can maybe just have some collectiveness and perhaps just use the terms alif mamduda. And alif is always mamduda anyway. And wa mamduda and ya mamduda. Inshallah, in this way we'll have some conformity and inshallah able to progress in that.
I think we've got consensus here. The sisters are now happy with it. On this side, everybody
understood. Inshallah, we always have each month. Inshallah.
I humble apologies.
Well, I think
both
of them things are the same
part.
Inshallah, just terminology.
My humble apologies. I was not aware of that. But nevertheless, now do we understand where we're coming from? Fatha Mamduda. Kasra Mamduda.
I think we still have another challenge. People from Pakistan would understand that, so maybe we should say
Karazabad Karazair in Karapesh.
So we just
for those that are Urdu speaking, Karazabad Karazair in Karapesh.
Okay, so we've clarified all Zabad Zair in Karapesh. Okay, so we've got it. Okay. I think now we've got everybody in Arabic. The classical Arabic, the Arabic we're using, and the Urdu, so it's all done.
Our Malaysian brothers happy? I don't know how you say it in Malaysia.
But I think it's done, brother.
Now we're saying Alif Sahira, Aw Sahira, and Ya Sahira.
Okay, I think we could
settle the matter now. We think it's time, we've got about a minute only, and then we're going to go for that and we continue with it after.
The closed letters is the last letter of a word that has Tifatha, Dhamma, Kasra. It has Tifatha, Dhamma, Kasra, as you see here. Generally, what happens is the children will read Tam Shi, Ra'uhu. And a very good example in our isti'adha. Instead of reading A'udhu Billah, they read A'udhu Billahi Minash. They drag in all these letters which are not supposed to be dragged. So it is very important that as a muallim or muallima, I am very attentive to how my children are reading. And I try to help them to get away from that reading. Again, don't correct them, teach them. Show it to them that how it must be read. And thus again, it is also going to be marked. Now in a different color. So if you mark your special letters in one color, you're going to mark your open letters in another color. Your Alif Mamduda, your Waw Mamduda, and your Ya Mamduda. You're going to mark that in a different color. And again, there must be consensus in the entire staff. It must be the same color. And then you're going to say, for example, we are going to block it off. We are going to block it off. Then everybody will do the same. And then when you mark the closed letters, we will show you how the closed letters need to be marked. But when you mark the closed letters again, in another color, so if you use red and blue already, ask them to mark the closed letters in green. In green. And again I'm going to say, let them mark for a while. After that, if you feel that it has been helping them, ask them to stop marking. And without the marking, if they are reading correctly, then alhamdulillah, we have achieved something. But if we find that they are still making the mistake, then they do the marking. We go back, drill work. This is what we call drill work. When we see they are achieving, then we don't let them mark. And then we didn't let them mark, we found that they are achieving, so 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks went by, they were reading well, they didn't need to do the marking, and eventually we find after 6 weeks, they're still making mistakes again, ask them to start marking for a while again. So we continuously will do the marking, it will help our children to come up to standard. I'm just going to very quickly go. There's a very important question that many people ask of fluency. How do we get pupils to read fluently? I think time is against us. But if we can master and help our children master recognition and pronunciation, if we can help them master recognition and pronunciation to a large extent, that will help with fluency. And together with the tarheem and the encouragement that we will give them to read Quran, not to learn Quran, not to learn, we don't use the word learn, but to read Quran, as long as we will do that, inshallah, it will get them encouraged to recite Quran, and fluency will come together with them. To promote fluent reading, that is what we need to do. The beautification of recital, that is your rules of tajweed, the laam of Allah, when it must be read with the full mouth, when it must be read with a tarheem, with a full mouth, when it must be read with tarheem, that is with an empty mouth, I'm trying to use all that terminology now, so that everybody understands. The gunna, that is to read with the nasal sound, the difference between gunna and the difference between ikhfa, that what is ikhfa, a slight nasal sound, what is gunna, a deep nasal sound, the rules of the letter ra, again, when it is read tarqib, when it is read takhfif, noon saqib and tanween, meem saqib, that is all the laws regarding noon saqib and tanween, that is your izhar, your ikhfa, your idgham, your qalb, your rules of meem saqib, the ikhfa and meem saqib, qalbala, that is the echoing letter.
Let's go back to this. Go back to the other one. Just stop here.
We will stop here, we will do the activity after this. My humble apologies for rushing through the end of it. But inshallah, we're coming up as well. We'll spend 10 minutes just to do the activity and then we'll continue with the next session.
Okay, inshallah, Zakullah, very quickly, inshallah. So, Adhan will go out, Salah Iqam will be at 1 p.m. inshallah. After Salah, Alhamdulillah, there's meals again, so we can have something. I hope we didn't eat too much for breakfast. Very glad. So inshallah, very quick lunch. Just because we have a short time of this session,